Kevin, I invite you now. I know your heart. Love you, buddy. Love you.
Isn't it good to be in church on Sunday morning? I got to tell you the truth. I never take for granted being able to get behind a pulpit and open the King James Bible. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, I take that seriously. You know, the Bible says over in the book of Matthew, we're going to give an account one day for every idle word. And, you know, brothers and sisters, I've often thought about what it's going to be like to stand before the Lord. But I've often also thought as an evangelist, Lord, did I tell them everything you wanted me to tell them? Did I stand on sound doctrine and never compromise? There's a lot of that going on in the world right now. And so I take very seriously the opportunity, and I'm grateful to this church and the man of God for allowing me to come and just take part. We, as he mentioned, we met long ago when I actually was teaming up with a ministry team you may remember that came through in the other building. We did an outreach called Faith Force, and I still minister with them men of God and often, but I love just to travel and preach the gospel. And I love to preach His Word. And so again, I'm thankful to the man of God for reaching out to me. I think it was last fall when we first started getting this on the calendar. But God always knows the right time. And I want to challenge you today, before we go to God's Word. Listen, I might move around a little bit too. Y'all better hang on. Who knows what might happen. But I'm going to tell you why that is. Because I found out when I was living with the devil, I thought I had something to shout about. But when I found Jesus, I really found out I got something to be happy about. And everybody expresses it in their own way. That's not, well, don't let the devil get it twisted. But I'm going to tell you what, I found out a lot. I got to be honest with you, I grew up in church, and as a young boy, sometimes I'd look around and I said, man, where's all the joy at? I mean, I'm wondering why people down at the bar seem to look happier than we are. That'll preach, by the way. But in all seriousness, sitting there, you know, David said, you know, we should have there should be a joy inside of us that says, I ain't ashamed to just say, I'm saved this morning. I ain't ashamed to raise a hand if I feel led. I ain't ashamed to just cry a tear if I feel led. I'm not worried about what the world thinks about that reaction. I just want to worship the Lord. David said, praise Him in the congregation. Praise Him. And I'm afraid that we're living in a day and hour right now. So I go around as an evangelist. I get the privilege and honor, it's all God, to go to many different churches and in many different denominations. But I stand on sound doctrine. And that's the day and hour we're living in. You know, the book of Timothy says, in that day, in the latter days, they will heap up for themselves teachers that'll tickle their ears. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, it's easy. Listen, I'm all for big churches. Not, like I said, don't let the devil get it twisted. But what I'm seeing as I go across, I'm seeing a lot of seats filled, but I'm not seeing the power of God. I'm not seeing holiness. You know, God's word said, be ye holy, for I'm holy. I remember as a young boy, when I would hear that holiness, I thought that meant I've got to be rigid and I can't have joy and I've got to always dress in a suit around town even if I go to the Dollar General or I've got to do certain things. I misunderstood, young people, the holiness of God. But I tell you what, when I got John 3:3 born again, boy, the holiness of God came alive in me. And as I travel around this nation, I'm seeing the Bible exactly what it said would happen. They would leave their first love. Sadly, we're in a day and hour, and I thank God that you don't have a man of God that's like this. I'm grateful that you got a man of God that'll still open his Bible and tell you the truth in love. That's what the Bible says I'm to do, tell you the truth in love. But sadly, brothers and sisters, we're in a day and hour where some churches are telling the truth, but there's no love in it. It's harsh. But then you got some that just want to tickle your ear and make you feel welcome, and you should. But when you get in here, they're not standing on sound doctrinal preaching. They by no means will mention hell. By no means will they mention repentance. But Jesus, when he started his ministry in the book of Matthew, said repent. Jesus was a preacher. He wasn't a motivational speaker, by the way. Amen. We need some preaching. And you know, I'm going to say this before we get started. It's good to be in a church where they still make use of the altar. Friends, some of you elders can definitely identify. Me and my mom's talked about it. She's 84. I'm going to see her here in a little bit, go over and have dinner with her. She ain't walked in years. We sit around sometimes and we fellowship, and especially you older saints can testify and understand. She'd talk about them old camp meetings, shin shavings on the floor, and man, you'd feel the power of God fall in there. And we'd talk, and I'd say, Mama, what's happened? She'd say, they've gotten away from that right there. Because we're so afraid. We're living in a day and hour where we're so afraid we're going to offend somebody. Can I just testify? I'm glad the cross offended me one day. Brother, you got to realize you're lost before you can get found. You got to preach them lost before you can preach them found. You got to first realize you're a sinner. Hey, let me tell you something. The cross is confrontational. You know why? Because the cross doesn't suggest a verdict. It demands a verdict. It demands change. I sit around and I ask Mama one time, and I don't mean this wrong, and I'm not talking about certain churches or anything. Don't let the devil get it twisted. But I sat around one day and I asked Mama, I said, Mama, you know, church has been around for many, 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 many years, but where was the contemporary churches back in your day? Why wasn't there any then? She just hold up that Bible again and say, there's been a falling away, son, in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways. I'm grateful that we can come to a church where I remember when I first, the Lord led me to the church that I attend, me and my wife, members there. And I'll never forget the thing that I appreciated the most is when I saw them make use of the altar. I'm glad we don't have to come to the altar to make a sacrifice for salvation. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm going to tell you what we should do. Don't forget a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice of acknowledgement of who went to that cross. I didn't do that for you. Your pastor loves you, but he didn't do that for you. Your Sunday school teacher, your deacons, we love you, but we didn't go to the cross for you. And I'm telling you, one of the greatest things you can do, friend, is get back sometimes and kneel down at the altar and just say, Lord, oh God, I need you. I got to tell you today, before we go to the Word of God, I didn't, you know, Paul said it this way. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He said, I didn't come with fancy speech or anything. I just came and preached Christ Him crucified. I'm here to tell you over these next few days, as I sat out and I started asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want to be discussed? What do you want? What Bible verses? What chapters? Lord, show me what you want. And this kept coming through my mind. And at first, I wanted to make sure it wasn't just my own thoughts. So the days went by, and I felt the Lord just taking me back to this theme overall. And you'll see it over the next few days, and it's, we need to get back to basics. We need to get back to basics. We need to get back to holiness. Listen, we have gotten to a place where one of the greatest needs of revival we need is to get back and realize this is all we need. We don't need a gimmick. We don't need more coffee machines out front and donuts. You know what we need to get them in here? We just need to say, I'm going to stand on God's word and leave the rest to Him. And trust me, friend, I'm all for outreach. I am. I'm telling you, but we're in a day and hour where we're trying so hard to reach the world that we're trying to become like them to reach them. And that's against God's word. He said, come out from among them. Be different. Be separate. You know what our young people, and this wasn't part of my intro, but I'm following the Lord. I look at these young people around, and I want you to understand something. I'm not here to share my testimony today, but young people, let me just sum it up with this. I lived a life of pure hell. Everything you think this world can give you, I've done it and then some, sadly, regrettably. If you want to meet me one-on-one afterwards, I'll be glad to share my personal testimony with you. But young people, you better listen to me. I used to sit in church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time the doors were open. But let me make sure you understand something. And my mom and dad sang in front of the church, but you got to get to a place where you understand you can't get there on mom and daddy. God don't have no grandchildren. You got to get to a place. There's going to come a time in your life, young people, where the Holy Spirit of God is going to deal with you and show you your lost condition. And you're going to have to make a choice. What am I going to do with this Jesus? What am I going to do with this Jesus? So today as we start, here's where I feel the Lord leading me. Before, you know, if it wasn't, number one, if it wasn't for Calvary, but let's go a step further. If it wasn't for an empty tomb, I have no reason to be here today. We're just wasting the time being here today. So what I want us to do today is I want us to start, let's rewind back, because I'm going to tell you something. One of the greatest things you'll see revival in your church, in your home, in your marriage, everything, but especially in our church, we need to get back to the realization of just how much Jesus really does love us. What he really went through when he went to Calvary. Because friend, I've got news for you. If you ever get a hold of that right here, it will change the way you treat one another in church. It'll change the way you honor that man of God that he's put in this position of authority over the flock. It'll change all areas of your life if you get back to realizing that without Jesus Christ being first, something's wrong. We got to get back to Jesus. So let's rewind back to Calvary for a moment this morning. Let's go back and remember what Jesus has done for us. If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 this morning. Isaiah 53. And like I said today, I just want us to go back to the Scriptures, go back to Calvary, back to remembering who the one that laid his life down for us. And as we do that, friends and brothers and sisters, let me ask you something. If he was willing to lay his life down for us, shouldn't we lay our lives down in obedience to him? If we get back to remembering what he did for us, let me tell you what else it'll do. It'll change the way you serve this church. Everything stems back to Calvary and the empty grave that followed. It all starts there. That's our foundation. Now let's go to the Scriptures. And I'm going to share with you what the Lord's laid on my heart, starting with Isaiah chapter 53, starting with verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded, and I want you to catch this. I want you to key in on this word, our. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, no one else did it, we are healed. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us is a sinner. We are born into sin. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Listen to this. Yet he opened not his mouth. He didn't say a word. He is brought as a lamb before the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. You'll notice there the word our is mentioned five times in verses 4 through 5. Our. You know, I'm always taken back every time I'm reminded of that our. I'm reminded of the fact that he never did anything wrong. He knew sin. He became sin for us, but he never sinned one time. And it amazes me, and young people, listen to this, it amazes me that no matter what I did and no matter how I rejected him and no matter how evil I became, he saw all that ahead of time and said, you know what? I'm going to send my son for that wretched sinner right there. And my son's going to crawl up on a cross one day. And he's going to lay his life down. But I'm going to tell you something else I want us to understand today. And we're going to touch on this in a minute. And this ain't, listen, this ain't easy to hear right here. But we need to understand to grasp the love. Because if we grasp what he truly did for us. Look, we need to have more than just a title of a Christian. He desires a relationship. Amen. Let me tell you something. You know why I love my wife more and more every day? Because I still remember what I said to her at the altar. I don't put that on the back burner. Every day I'm reminded, Lord, help me to love my wife like you said as Christ loved the church. I'm reminded. Our, he knew no sin. And I think about all the evil things I did in my life, and I think about the choices I made. And again, Romans 5:8, he says that he demonstrates and proves his love in the very fact that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. It's amazing. Do you remember when you got saved? Let me just ask you something. You remember when you got saved this morning? Remember how it felt inside? Go back, really. I don't want to come here and just say some words and leave. I want you to really go there with the Lord right now in your spirit. If you're saved, remember that time when you got saved? Might have been even when you was young. Might have been a week ago. I don't know. But do you remember what it felt like to realize you were a sinner in need of a Savior? But then when you came to Calvary and you got that old blood bath, and he just washed you in his blood, cleaned you up, white as snow, and you've been adopted. You've been adopted. Remember when you got adopted by Jesus? Do you remember when you became a king's kid this morning? Do you remember how on fire you were? Do you remember that, quite honestly, you probably didn't care what anybody thought about it? Man, you were happy, and you probably even told people what happened. And boy, we should. We should testify. Because you had joy, and you wanted to share it. But now, what's happened to our joy? Have we forgotten what it was like when we got saved? Have we forgotten what he went through at Calvary? Have we forgotten just how much he loves us? I want us to continue to look at that this morning. Remember the life in sin you led as a lost person. Think of that before you got saved. And you don't have to have led the life that I lived. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all missed it. Paul said it this way, our best is this filthy rags. See, we've all sinned. But boy, when you look at the cross, it's amazing to think that he went up and crawled up willingly. The Bible says he laid his life down willingly, and that's key, by the way. Nobody forced him. He laid his life down willingly. And think about it, when he was crawling up on that cross, we're going to keep going this morning. Hang on now. We're going to close it up in just a little while. But as he crawled up on that cross willingly, I want you to keep in mind that sinful nature, you remember you were lost in before you got saved. We just talked about where you were when he cleaned you up, the life you've been living, the fact that you were just a sinner in need of a Savior, that he saw all that and said, you know what, I'll crawl up on there for him. What a thought this morning. I'm so grateful, and we're going to continue to look at something this morning. Also notice where he says he laid on him our sins. We said it before. He did nothing wrong. Look at verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And then verse 6, real quick, he says again, all we like sheep have gone astray. All. See, we've all sinned, and we've all turned away to his own way. Any of you in here have children? I see children around here. I see parents in here. I couldn't imagine, even for a good person, somebody that loved me, but I could not imagine, couldn't do it for them. I couldn't imagine putting my son through what Jesus went through. And especially for people like myself, for example, that went even so much further to blaspheme the name of God. I couldn't imagine. Could you imagine putting your son, putting your child, putting your daughter? Could you imagine putting them on a whipping post with that cat of nine tails as they cry out? Have we forgotten? If we've gotten so used to it's Sunday and it's time to get our dress and our clothes out and button up our shirts and put our ties on, what have you, and go to church, and then we'll go to church and we'll go eat. Has it become a routine? Have we forgotten what church is supposed to be about? Listen, he didn't put his son on a cross so we could sit and just play church every Sunday and Wednesday. We're to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to have a burden for lost people in this community. We're to have a burden for one another and how we treat the brethren. And we'll talk about that some this week. There needs to be unity. And it all, again, goes back to remembering who first loved us so that we can love others. We've got to get back to basics. We've got to get back to holiness. We've got to get back to what he did for us in remembrance. Number 3, I want you to understand something. Look at verse 7. He says he opened not his mouth. He opened not his mouth. You know, that used to blow my mind. That was one of the things that really touched me when I was lost. It's because I would see it and I would think about the fact. I remember when we was in high school, there was always this one boy that got picked on. And that one boy never defended himself. He never said anything. He just would stand there. And I remember when I was lost and I came across this verse and I thought about him standing there, first of all, and saying nothing. That touched me. He said nothing. He didn't say one word to defend himself. He didn't say, hold on, I ain't done nothing wrong. Hold on. No, he just stood there and he said nothing. And that blows my mind. That touched me. When I thought about it, because see, to me, the old saying, talk is cheap. If you love somebody, you show them. And when I thought about him standing there being accused, being spit on, being mocked, being hit in the back of the head, beard plucked, crown of thorns put on him, all these things along the way leading to his crucifixion, but yet he said nothing. But there was that one part that I really like along the way where he did say once something. As he looked at all of his accusers and what he had been through, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. I've often thought about that, and I think about the love of Christ, and I go back and I think about him sitting there, all that he went through for our sin, said nothing, and he's sitting there after he's been tortured and saying, forgive them. They just don't know what they're doing. Let me pause right there and interject something. You may be in here today lost. Jesus loves you in a way you can never imagine. But it starts at the cross. And if you'll get a hold of the cross, you'll get a hold of that great love. And I challenge you before we finish up today, I want you to ask yourself this question, who is Jesus Christ to me? Because as I said earlier, you're going to have to make a decision in what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get back to our first love. We need to get back to who did it all. We see that he was willing to do this for us being sinners. My question is this, what is one willing to do for him being saved? Being saved, what are we willing to sacrifice and do for him? You know, one thing in the body of Christ that we need, and the man of God I'm sure would attest, I know my man of God would. We need people that want to get plugged in and serve through the body of Christ, serve through the home church. But I'm afraid we're living in a day and hour where Satan has got in the midst and he's dividing the church so badly through gossip and through hearsay and through all this nonsense. You know, I've often told people, body of Christ, we got to be careful at church. We got to understand the battle we're against. We have that enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we got to be really careful because Satan is like a mouse. If he can just get a little bit of his head in there, he can get in all the way. And what's happened, a lot of times we're getting discouraged and we're not getting behind the man of God. We're not getting behind one another. And before you know it, again, we're back to just playing church on Sundays and Wednesday nights. I was telling the brethren in the back, I said, I'll never forget on that note of playing church. I'm going to interject. There was a lady one time, she was in her 80s. And she was on the front, she was sitting like right there. And when they gave the invitation, she came up, she was on a walker. She walked the old-fashioned aisle, came up there on that walker under conviction of the Holy Spirit. And here's what she said later when I got talking to her. She said, all my life I've gone to this church. She said, my family and relatives are all buried in the back of the church, generations. Church has been here many, 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 many years. She said, I'm here every Wednesday night and Sunday. I'm here every time the doors open. She said, but something hit me right over there on the front row today, 80 plus years old, that I'm lost. I'm not born again. Holy Spirit of God shook me over there this morning. You know what she realized? She realized she had works, but work, there's no such thing as work salvation. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? You must be born again, John chapter 3. You must be born again. I'm telling you what, when I look back at my life and I look back at Calvary and I think about what he did on Calvary for me, that gives me something to be excited about on Sunday morning. I got news for you. I'm not here this Sunday morning because it's the Christian thing to do and it's Sunday and it's time to go to church. I'm here because there's a grave over in Israel right now. My goodness, Lord help. There's a grave over in Israel right now that is empty. And I don't know about you. See, listen, I don't mean to rub anybody wrong. My goodness. But if you can think about it, if you're born again, and when you think about that, something don't just stir inside of you, and you want to shout, raise a hand, or shout inside, whatever, I'm telling you, I struggle with understanding that. Let me show you what's happened, how much we need revival in our country. Let's just be real. I know we've heard this a million times, but I'm going to use this analogy. We will get fired up at a high school football game. Don't care what nobody thinks either. Boy, we've seen parents stand up and lose their mind shouting for their kids, amen. Hey, I think you should. That's Bible. You should support your children. My goodness, when the NCAA tournament's been going on, we see Duke fans and Carolina fans losing their mind, amen. My dad, I'm going to go check on him today since Carolina's out, make sure he's all right. But you get my point. Listen, we're all being real today. We're all being honest and looking at ourselves in the mirror and saying, hey, have we forgotten our first love? Because if we haven't, why don't we have something to shout about? Hey, I got news for you. I still get excited thinking about loving my wife. She's my wife. She loves me. I remember when we stood there before the man of God and said those vows. I don't just go through the motions as a husband every day. I thank God for that woman every day. When's the last time you thank God for Jesus? Or have we gotten so used to this Sunday, Wednesday routine that it's just, let's just be honest, has it become a social club? How was your week? Has it become, we didn't mean for it to, didn't intend for it to, but has it become a social club? Or do we really have a burden for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in our life? Remember Calvary? That's what we're looking at today. Remember Calvary. You know why I came here? And this is the God's honest truth, and this is for the Lord's glory, not mine. Like I said, I didn't come here even because, really, I was invited. Let me go back further. I came here because I can't forget what he did for me. I can't just write that off, even though I'm saved, and I know I'm going to heaven. I know if I die right here today, that sudden death will be sudden glory. But the reason I came here today is like that precious song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. All fear's gone. I remember growing up at the church across town in Burlington. And I remember the life that I lived growing up in church. And I said, I'll never be like my brother was. And I can't forget what he did for me in all the hell that I lived. I can't just, I'm a Christian and it's cool and put a cross around my neck. Oh, no, there's more than that. There's a lot of people in hell with a 20-pound cross around their neck probably right now. And let me say this too, real quick. Let me interject something right here. There is still a hell to escape. Because you can't pick and choose the Bible. You either believe it all, or if you don't believe there's a hell, how do you believe John 3:16? Same Bible. Well, it depends on what version you got, and that's for another day. If you got King James Bible, listen, you're going to hear plenty about hell from the word. Now, listen, it's not from an evangelist, from Jesus himself. And if I think Jesus talks about hell, and it's all through the Bible, by the way, all the way through to Revelation, we might want to listen and not just water it down because it's hard to hear. You know one of the reasons, too, and not listen, I'm just following God right now, but you know one of the reasons people don't like to hear preaching about hell? And this is going to hurt right here. See, this is where we got to wake up! Because the thought of people we might know is there right now. You want to get real? You want to get revived? Let's do it. But it's going to start with the understanding. I know people right now, brother. I'm all but convinced in my spirit. I know some people right now is probably in hell. I know some people that would like to go back to Calvary one more time. That sat in a church and played church every Sunday and played church on Wednesday night. But if they were sitting in a pew, they wouldn't even, oh, glory be to God, they wouldn't even let me finish preaching this morning. They'd be running down this altar to get saved if they could have one more time. We got to get back to stop watering down the gospel. I'm talking about in America. I ain't talking about this church. I'm talking about in the body of Christ, the bride. We've got to get back to basics. We've got to get back to telling people the truth. And it starts at Calvary. But you know how serious Calvary was and how serious hell is? Look at what Jesus went through. If you ever want to understand how serious hell is, it's all in your Bible. But look at what Jesus went through. If there's no hell to escape, you ask me this then, why is there a cross? He didn't have to just put his son on the cross for no reason. You know what's amazing? When I sit and I go back to Calvary like we're doing this morning, and we're going to talk a little bit more here in a minute, we're going to close it up. But I want you to listen to me, and the reason I get so passionate about this, we need to get a stirring inside of us and an understanding that right now, Bible supports it, that right now, while we're sitting here, I'm standing here, you're sitting there, right now, there are people in torment in a place they were never intended to go. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. If you go there, you're a trespasser, but you will go there by crawling over the cross to get there. How bad do you want to go to hell? Do you really want to go that bad? Young people, some of them think, oh, it's going. I've heard this because I used to be so lost in satanic stuff. Oh, it's going to be some party. Might want to go over in the book of Luke and read about Lazarus and that rich man. And in torment when he died. And in hell. Red letter edition, Jesus talking. He lifted up his eyes. Not at the party. Not drinking. Not having a good time at the club down there. He lifted up his eyes in torment. You say, man, that sounds like an awful place. There's no way Jesus would do that. Well, let me ask you this. One of the scariest things in the Bible that hits me, listen to me now, is that God is love. You say, well, if God is love, what do you mean scary? I think you may have mentioned the wrong thing, Kevin. No. I know exactly what I said, that he is love, and here's why. You know why that's scary? When we're talking about hell and things, because he is love, he has to address sin. Any of you in here, nearby right here, got kids? You got kids? Do you love them? Did you ever have to say no to them? Did you ever have to pop out honey along the way? Yeah. Amen! Why? Because you had to address misbehavior, didn't you? You had to. Why? Because you loved them. You get where I'm going? Because he's loving, he can't just overlook sin. Because he is love. He has to address it. But you know what's amazing about him addressing as we go back to Calvary this morning? He didn't ask an evangelist to crawl up on there. He didn't send an angel down to crawl up on there. He didn't choose some rabbi in Israel. He said, I'm going to put my son up on that cross. Now let's think about this here before we close it up this morning. Listen. I know this sounds like, man, this is just salvation message. I don't know, you know, listen. I'm more worried about what God wants me to say over the next 3 days. I could come in here and put on a show. I know how to tickle ears if I wanted to intentionally. Let's just keep it real this morning. I know how to get a rise out of people. You know why? Because early on in the ministry, I used to do that and God corrected me on it. It's easy to do that. But you know what ain't easy? Sometimes God give you something and you go, man, that seems like basic 101 stuff. Or, God, I kind of want to give them something. Hey, and he reminds me, it's not about your performance. It's about eternity. It's not about my performance this morning. I'm not looking necessarily even for handshakes, even though I appreciate them. All I want to know is one day when I stand before God that he said, I saw you down there one time at revival at Lakeview Community Church and you told him the truth. Well done. You told him what I told you to say. Even though they may have heard it a million times, you told them because I told you to say it. When I sit now, before we close, I want you to think about something. We've pictured the Lord standing there being accused. We've pictured him with that crown of thorns and the blood running down through his eyebrows, dripping down. Do you see him standing there? Remember in Isaiah right there, 53, as a lamb before the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. He didn't even say nothing. Now keep in mind, he said nothing. He said nothing. And the blood, the warm blood, he was all man and all God. And he felt that blood and it's running down his face. They're plucking his beard. They're mocking him. But then they put him on that whipping post. They got that whipping post. And they put him around that whipping post. Remember hour? The word hour? Five times? Hour. And they put him on that whipping post. He was all man and all God. Then they took that cat of nine tails. You know the story. And let me just say this too. I was about to go to this, but the Lord's kind of taking it over here for a minute. The Bible says, as a lamb led to the slaughter. I want us to understand something today, this morning, before we close. He didn't just go and die. He was tortured for you and I. He was tortured willingly for you and I. And they put him on that cat of nine tails. We've got to get back to Calvary this morning as the body of Christ. And they stood there and they beat him with that cat of nine tails. And it wasn't like one lashing when it come across you. When it come across you, think of it like fingers coming across you. Claws, think of it that mentality. With the bone and the pellets and different stuff that was in it. And it would pull out that skin. And he sits there and he takes stripe. And you know they say that many, in terms of studying that Roman crucifixion, do you know they said many never made it past this. They died. That's how horrible it was. But here's the thing. They said, the scholars talk about it, and they say that nobody ever took the amount of stripes that Jesus took. They were trying to prove a point. They were trying to mock this so-called King of the Jews. They gave him more licks than anyone for a bunch of people. Let's just be real, and I don't mean to be ugly. This is where we need revival. I'm sorry. I love you. Oh, God knows my heart. But when you think about it, he cried out in sin. I think we got something to shout about now that we're saved. And we sit and we act like we don't even have nothing to be happy about this morning in the house of God. Across America. We sit and act like, is it 12 yet? I mean, my goodness, you want to talk about back to basics and the greatest thing we need, revival. You get where I'm going this morning? We've just gotten numb to the fact that we're Christians. But when he's on that whipping post, they were whipping and beating and beating and beating and beating him. And then they wasn't done. And then we know the story. He bared that cross and he was nailed through his hands and feet. And then he was put by Joseph into a borrowed tomb. He took the body, put him in there. But 3 days later, it's like they say a lot can happen in 3 days. Amen. 3 days later, like we said earlier, to bring it back full circle, the grave right now is empty over there in Israel. And when I think about Calvary, when I think about him walking out 3 days later, I got something to shout about this Sunday morning. I got something to smile about this Sunday morning. Man of God, we got Jesus to preach. What else do we need other than his word? I want to give you a final thought this morning. You know, we talked about everything that he went through and the fact that he was slaughtered. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. I'm going to close with a story, and then we're going to finish. Years ago, I heard, when I read about that lamb led to the slaughter, years ago I heard this story, testimony of a former atheist. Here's what he said. He said, I grew up on a farm. And I'm going to say this gently. He said, but my dad was very abusive. He said, I never believed God existed because if God existed, he's love. These Christians say, if he's love, there's no way my daddy would treat me like that. There's no way there's a God. He said, but as time went on, my mama was always very loving towards me. And I'll never forget one day, mama brought home a little baby lamb for a pet. We lived on a farm. She said, and Mama put that, he said, and Mama put that little baby lamb out there. We had like a little pen area. And I, he said, I'd go out there and I'd sit there. And he said, I'd sneak out sometimes and I'd go out there and I'd just pet the lamb. He said, that lamb didn't cuss me. That lamb didn't beat on me. The lamb didn't even have to say a word for him, for me to know how much he loved me back. But then one day, Daddy came home. He said, I'll never forget it. I heard the screen door. I heard him come up the stairs. He got the chair and he brought it over by the window. He said, I want you to sit right there. He said, I heard Daddy turn around and go back down the steps. I heard the screen door one more time. And as that little boy, I looked out over the edge. And I watched my daddy go out there to that pen. And grab the lamb. And he killed my lamb. Slaughter. He said, and as I sat there, I'm trying to be as delicate as I can, but I want you to get this. I heard the cries of that little lamb, and he'd make a little voice. He heard that little lamb screaming for his life. We pause there. Do you hear the cries of the lamb on the whipping post? Do you hear the cries of the lamb when the thorns were placed and forced down on his head? Do you hear the cries of the lamb when the nails went through his hands and feet? Oh, he felt it. Do you hear that? And he says, something got a hold of me that day. Somebody had taken me one time to old Vacation Bible School, and I heard about this Jesus and the cross. He says, something got alive in me. As I heard the cries of the lamb, he said, it reminded me of a story about a man named Jesus who went up on Calvary for a bunch of sinners and was tortured and beaten and spit on and all of that. And as I heard the cries of the lamb, something got a hold on me. Man, I think that story's true. Wasn't too much longer after that, he got saved. Now he travels as an evangelist. You know why? Because it all started back to the original thing he needed to know about. He said, I might not have known a bunch about the Old Testament as I should. I didn't know a lot of Bible verses. But you know the story that got a hold of his heart? Calvary. And that story changed his life forever. I want to ask you something today. Why are we here today? Because it's Sunday. Or because we really want to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. As the church, how are we conducting ourselves as a testimony to God? At work, etc. How are we, when we think about this, does it affect the way you live your life before men? Is there unconfessed sin in your life this morning? I got news for you. You're never going to see the church move forward when we're hiding sin or we're condoning open sin in the church. We got to get back to our first love. Is there unconfessed sin in your life? Let me ask you this one. You ain't got to raise your hands or nothing. Do you get behind and pray for that man of God right there? Do you call out for him, realizing that he's got a bullseye on his back? Satan can't stand him, just like y'all. Satan don't want him coming up here and opening this Bible and telling y'all the truth. He wants him to water it down. Do you pray for your man of God? And last of all, have we sacrificed our lives as the church for him, just as we read, as he sacrificed everything for us? In love, I ask you this question. I ask myself this question. When's the last time you sacrificed anything in your life for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I came to church this morning. I mean, I'm glad we came to church. But when's the last time? You know, a lot of times what's happening is we're coming in and we're worshiping and we're having a big time. But then when the doors are open and we leave, it's like we leave Jesus here. We leave our worship here. We leave our praise here. We leave our hearts here. So in closing, here's what I want to say to you today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to ask you something. First, here's what I want to do. If we've got anybody that can play some soft music, you go right ahead. That'd be great. Something just soft. I want to ask you a simple question. Nobody's looking around. It's just between you and God right now. I just want to ask you something. Would there be somebody in here today that says, they're thinking right now, you know, I just came. It's Sunday. It's church. I came. I mean, I knew it was revival and all, but got to be honest with you. As I've heard this man of God talk about Calvary, something continues to turn in my heart and turn in my heart that honestly I didn't really even expect to happen today. I didn't see it coming, but I'm having a head-on collision with the cross right now. With heads bowed, I just want to ask you a simple question. You know, over in the book of Matthew, they asked him, they said, Jesus asked him, who do men say that I am? He said, well, some say John the Baptist, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then he looked over at Peter, and he said, who do you say that I am? There's going to come a time in your life, and it may be this morning. I don't know. That's between you and God and good old Holy Ghost conviction. But you may be here today, and the Holy Spirit of God has crept up on your heart, and the Holy Spirit of God is asking you this question. Who do you say that he is? Who is Jesus Christ to you? Peter said, thou art the Christ. Oh, happy day, happy day. But there's going to come a time when the Holy Spirit of God is going to deal with your heart. He ain't going to ask you who mama said he was, who your pastor said he was, who Kevin said he was. He's going to say, who do you now say that I am? And it could very well be today. No one's looking around. Let me just ask you a question real quick. If you're in here today, would there be one that says, I've never been saved, and God's dealing with my heart this morning? I'm not going to come get you, I promise you. I won't. But there's no way I could do a message like this and not give an invitation. There's just no way. On the count of three, no one's looking around. I'm not going to come get you. Just slip your hand up right where you're at if God's dealing with your heart this morning about salvation. All I want to do is pray with you. One, two, three. I see that hand. Would there be another? Raise it high. Would there be another? You can look up here. Here's what I want to do. I want to do two things this morning. We're done. Number one, I'm just going to be honest with you. I ain't trying to tone it down on purpose, but this right here is where it gets tough. I saw a couple hands, but now is where it gets to the point. Can I just be honest? I ain't trying to ruffle feathers, I'm just telling you the truth. Why don't you come this morning? Remember what he did? Why won't you just come this morning? Here's what I'm going to ask you to do if you raised your hand. As we continue to pray right here, I'm right here, man of God's right here. Now I'm going to tell you this work's going to get tough because we're in revival. This is a Sunday morning crowd. Devil will say, well, everybody in here already thinks you're saved. You can't possibly walk down there and get saved this morning. What's people going to think about it? That's the whole point of this message. We got to get away from what everybody thinks and get back to Christ. So I just want to ask you something on the count of three. If you raised your hand, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. Not kicked out of heaven. Anyway's talking about it, but listen to me. I'm proud of my wife. I'm proud of a lot of things in my life, but most of all, I'm proud of Jesus. If you raised your hand and said, God's dealing with me and I need to get saved, I'm going to ask you right now on a count of three to come down to this altar. One, While the music plays, two, three, you come. I'm telling you, I saw the hands. I want to extend this invitation. I don't believe in begging people to the altar. You either want to come or you don't. Would you come? I'm not going to single anybody out. I saw you. I'm looking at you right now, but I'm not going to point you out in any way. Would you come? I tell you what we'll do. We'll go on and move to part two. Here's what I want to do. We talked about these altars. Would there be somebody that just wants to come and praise and thank the Lord for even the fact that you even woke up this morning?
Lord, this morning, buddy.
I'm good.
You good?
Good.
I just need him with me.
Amen.
Would there be one that just says, hey, I just want to go down. I got a lost loved one I need to pray for. Would there be somebody that says, hey, I want to come down and just pray for this church and my pastor. We're in this together. Hey, I just want to get around an old-fashioned altar and call out to the God of heaven, you've been good to me. Pray for you, man of God. Pray for this church. Pray for unity in the church. Listen, and I don't mean you got to make it public right this moment or something. That's not what I'm saying. But you might be in here and you got something against a brother or sister. Somebody's rubbed you wrong in this church. And man, it's bothering you. Hey, Jesus said in his word, if you come to the altar and you want to praise me, you leave your gift on the altar. Go get it right with your brother, then come back. Boy, that's tough stuff right there. He says, if you got something against a brother in Christ, don't come up in here right now and act like you worship and everything's fine. Go get it right. Then come back to the altar and leave your gift of sacrifice. So maybe you're in here and maybe you need to go to somebody today or during revival privately and just say, hey, if I don't know who this is for. I'm telling you, I didn't plan to say this. But maybe you just need to find that brother or sister that you feel like you've offended, or maybe you feel like they offended you, and just say, hey, brother, hey, sister. Can I just say, can we get the devil out of the midst? If I offended you, I'm sorry. If I offended you, I'm sorry. Or maybe you just need to say, hey, that thing me and you talked about a while back where you rubbed me wrong, you're already forgiven. But I'm grateful today that we can come before the altar. As you're praying for someone, I want to encourage somebody. My mom, I'm getting ready to go see her. She prayed for me for years and years and years and years. You may be in here praying for somebody that's lost today. Don't you stop praying. The Bible says don't stop praying. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying for them. Mama's grandparents, you got that child that you give anything was up in this pew with you today. Guess what? Keep praying for them. My mama, every time I tell her, she'll ask me today, how things go? And I say, Mama, no matter what the message, I always try to tell them about my praying mama to encourage the saints. Don't stop praying. We got a man of God in our church right now. I've been praying for him for years. We're sending Bible verses every day, praying, praying, praying. He ain't been in the church in probably 20 years. December 2018, he started coming to church. In February, he walked an old-fashioned aisle and got John 3:3 born again. He's on fire, can't stop talking about Jesus. Don't even understand why. He's still on milk, you know, like the Bible says, but he's got a joy that he's like, my goodness, God's been good to me. Some are still on the altar. I'm not going to rush anybody. You be obedient. You do what God puts on your heart. You stay down there as long as you want to or as short as you want to. This ain't about me. It's about you and the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to share one final little thing, and I'm going to turn it over to the man of God to dismiss us. I want to leave you with a word of encouragement this morning. Man of God, I heard Brother Mark Stroud say this one time. Love that man of God. He said he was over in another country, and he was in an orphanage, but this orphanage was for special need kids and mentally handicapped and things like that. And I say that respectfully. Oh, man, you'll love this. You're just going to like you. I'm sorry, you're going to love this story. He said he was over there, and the place was immaculate. And he said, I couldn't understand. He said, I mean, this place was cleaner than a doctor's office, the way they kept the cafeteria for the kids, everything. But he said, but what puzzled me, man of God, is he said, over there on the windows, there were fingerprints and smudges and things all over the windows. And he said, that puzzled me, and I had a great relationship. So afterwards, I went over there and I asked the lady. He said, can I ask you something? And she said, yeah. He said, I got to say this respectfully. He said, but I noticed, man, you guys do an amazing job. You know, this is a beautiful, immaculate place. But I'm puzzled because I know there must be a reason. In other words, I notice how the windows are kept the way they are. Oh, me. She said, oh, yes. She said, man of God, you got to understand something. You're not the first man of God to come through here and talk to these kids. And years ago, somebody told these kids about in that Bible where Jesus said, one day I'm coming back. Whew. Listen to this. Man of God, get ready. I'm coming to you. He said, so what these kids do every day when they get up in the morning, they'll sit there and eat, and we have our little breakfast for them. Some of them in their little wheelchair. Some of them shaking. Some can't hardly talk. He said, but when they're done, they all go over there to the windows. Oh, happy day. He said, they go to the windows, and they put their faces against the windows, and they just look up, wondering if Daddy's coming today. I mean, if that right there don't move your heart, saints of God, he's preparing a place. And I don't know about you, other than some people that's lost, I want to see get saved. I'm ready to go home. Man of God, you come. Love you, buddy.